David, this episode of the podcast is going to be the biggest twist ever. In a world first, I have been given the power to drink a glass of wine while talking about Big Brother.
Is this going to really change the nature of the podcast?
It's going to shake things up forever.
This is going to really change things. Okay, well that's obviously devastating because now there's far less wine for us to drink. Okay, after that false start, welcome back to the Behind Big Brother podcast. In a world first, this is episode 2.
Should we talk about Channel 9's hyperbole? Because it's really wearing me thin.
It's
the worst thing in the world.
But it's gone. You know, Gretel could be forgiven for her when she, you know, talked in metaphors constantly. But this has taken it to another level. Big Brother is not The Block. I think that they need to stop just applying. Maybe there's like a meme generator or something that generates the words to use, like reveals all, changes everything. And they've just pumped in all of the words and then they, you know, out pops a promo every day for the next night's show.
And every episode has like a gothic choir with a full symphony orchestra, like just really winding them up. And then it just breaks down into, oh my God.
And then the word art flies in at 40 degree angle onto the screen and plants itself. I guess it's the way of television these days, and it's a very American style. Like, got to watch it, got to see the next thing. If you don't see this, you will miss out. All will be revealed. But it actually is a promo for a show in 7 days' time. It's really quite excruciating. I also wonder, and I don't know anything about television, surely the people who produce Big Brother don't produce the promos, right? Like, that must come out of somewhere else in Channel 9, like the intern department or something. Surely.
So the big topic on everyone's minds is...
Is it the biggest topic?
It's the biggest topic in Big Brother history.
Okay.
Is Tim Dormer going in the house? But I reckon we should try and recap some of the stuff that happened earlier in the week first.
Because so everything was more interesting than him going into the house?
So first, the big first event of the week was David's altercation with Lisa and the subsequent awkwardness. Your thoughts?
I just think David's a douchebag. Like, yes, he does get his foot in it and says, you know, some things that are a little bit unfortunate and a bit foot in mouth. But also the fact that he said, you know, this is just what guys do. Boys will be boys and girls will be girls. It's just completely unacceptable. He took no ownership over the fact that he made a shitty comment. And at one point he tried to convince her that her listening through the walls was her fault. It's like, no, I don't buy that at all. I'm just not a fan.
She was eavesdropping on them, though.
Yeah, but she was putting her makeup on, and then she was like, oh, I can kind of hear what's going on. It's like she was creeping behind the wall.
And I do agree that he totally overstepped the mark and said some things that are just not acceptable nowadays. At the same time, I did feel that he was kind of sold out a bit. Like, in that within one episode, the entire female fan base of the show was calling for him to be beheaded on live on air.
I think that, but that's a symptom of the type of television show that encourages, well, actually just life these days, that encourages that kind of ongoing discussion and live discussion. But I do think that they focused throughout the week way too much on him. Like, surely he was not the most interesting thing going on in the house. I keep banging my head against a wall all week thinking, surely these housemates talk about something else. Something else interesting. They're not. I think maybe they're given, and we'll get into it a little bit later, the whole, I think they're given too much stimulus to the point where they're actually just so boring because they're waiting for the next thing to happen.
Also, I feel that Lisa handled the situation completely inappropriately as well. I mean, she's like in her mid to late 20s. She should know better than to spitefully yell at him, we would never hang out outside of this house, or what was the other thing she said?
Yeah, I don't have to like you or something.
And later on, she continues to bitch about him, saying his eyes are too close together or something like that. Good one, girl. You really showed him.
Yeah, it got really petty at a point. And I do, you know, he gets a tiny bit of respect from me because he did bring it up with her. Although he said in the conversation, look, I don't want to talk about this now, and then ended up talking about, like, that's not how conversations work. But the fact that she just immediately blew him off and was like, no, I don't want to talk to him. I'm not going to talk to him again. It's like, actually, you are going to need to live with this person for potentially many, many more weeks. You actually do need to go and talk with them. And I think that's why it did blow up, because they had a whole night to spite each other. I don't want to see their relationship anymore. Too much time has been spent on David in the house. And then when he went in on Sunday in Tim's, I don't know, power bottom room or whatever it was, like, there's too much time spent on him. There are other housemates to get to know. And he is, I think I can assure everyone that there were other interesting things going on in that house that were not shown.
Yeah, it has been the David show this week. First, it was David and Lisa, and then it became David and Sandra. And then I think whoever's running the show was a bit like, we actually need him to stay. So, Tim, can you go in there and convince him to shave his beard? But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but then just as one side note, also then showing that tiny piece of footage where Tim basically said, but, you know, Big Brother needs a David. Big Brother needs you, David. You need to be in this show. Like, oh, God. They're just reaffirming what they want. Anyway.
You know what would have been really inappropriate? If David walked straight up to Lisa and said,
my anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
Shall we talk about the task?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the part where they stood still. I thought it was great television. Very well done. Sorry, I'll stop.
I was looking back. We have talked ad nauseum about tasks over the years and how they have become more and more crap. But I just think that this one, it was pitched as the biggest task ever. This will change the game. This
the name keeps changing. Now it's Big Brother's live cash giveaway. Like, it sounds like they're going to put the housemates inside the fishbowl, and then, like, dollars will just blow up like a game show.
They'll probably be filming an Ambipur commercial while they're in there. No, but really, the Big Brother's biggest challenge ever. It's like, I'm sorry, but being in Big Brother is the biggest challenge. Like, that is the game that you're playing to win whatever it is, $100,000, or I can't even remember. Not winning $30,000, just snores. Like, I'd be more interested in watching one of those keep the housemates awake type of tasks.
I think some other reality TV shows, maybe like Amazing Race, is bigger than asking the housemates to pick what type of guys they'd hook up with.
My favorite part about that was it just showed that all of the housemates are cookie cutters of one another. In the, the personality, where the two girls were put aside and their male partners had to choose what type of dream guy they would have and, you know, who was their idol or whatever. Basically, the guys picked the exact same things for both girls. Just, you know, we think that these girls are exactly the same person. And they were pretty much entirely correct. 3 out of 5. That's pretty good odds.
Like, this, the editing is really phasing me. I can't even remember what happened in the task. So they were rating guys, what type of guys the female housemates would go out with or kiss or...
Yeah, it was like what's your dream guy, what's your dream guy's job, or what's your dream job, and who's your, like, female idol, and, you know, just like, oh, wheel out Beyonce and Mother Teresa or whatever, and just all of the girls picked the same ones, like, snores. It was just so boring, and also the task takes up so much time. When there's that many housemates, they really need to do the, like, snappy tasks.
Should we move on to the poodles?
So, do you mean Skye? And Lisa?
No, I mean this.
Did you notice that Skye and Lisa were wearing the exact same outfit on last night's episode? That lace, like, cut-off number?
Were they?
Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Well, let's play a clip from when the poodles enter the house.
Housemates, Big Brother would like to introduce you to your new housemates.
Oh, my God.
Everyone hold hands.
Hold hands.
Oh, I don't want to. No!
This is the point where both poodles died of fright. And they had to bring in stunt doubles from the same company, from the same pet store that replaced Surly 17 times a couple years ago. This pet store is just, they're awful people, just monsters.
My favourite, I can't remember which houseman it was, they didn't quite show up, but someone, when everyone started screaming, said, no, everyone, shut up! And the dogs started running back into the diary room. I do like... Yeah, I do like the fact that there's dogs on there. I think they provide endless sources of entertainment when the housemates are just babbling about something incoherent and walking around the pool, and the dogs are just following and following and following. But didn't... What year was it that they brought a dog in? Was it maybe this...
There's been a dog in 2001 and 2008 and possibly in between.
That's right. It was Sarah Marie and the dog, I think. And the dog suffered like serious psychological problems and had to be removed. Do you remember?
Well, did you notice on the Tim Dormer episode, the dogs were nowhere to be seen? I think they removed them because they were scared the housemates were going to get drunk, pull them into the spa and start pashing them.
Look, it would have happened. There would have been a spinning of a bottle...
The spitting of a bone.
My favourite is when the housemates do get alcohol because they're only given it a couple of times a week or if that. And you see the glasses very slowly, because each housemate is savouring that wine as you would. I mean, they're not idiots. And then approximately halfway through the glass, they're just completely plastered.
Yeah, they really go off the rails. Wait, we're jumping forward to the Tim Dormer episode because that's when they really got maggot.
Yeah. We digress. Let's go a bit further back. What else happened during the week that was of interest?
Sky did some really interesting dancing.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Let's do a Sky update.
That's one of my notes here. Why the nonstop videos of Sky dancing or singing to herself? Another point where I just think there are way more interesting things to show that's going on in the house that's not her dancing. Why?
I thought it was cute.
But again, like, there's been a good 45 minutes of Sky dancing this week.
Yeah, I know. If they were showing, like, more interesting footage intermixed, I wouldn't have such a problem with the dancing. But so far, it's been, like, dancing and magic shows. And when Sky... You texted me, when Sky sits on the diary room, you can't see her anymore. She just blends in. All you see is, like, some floating pink lips. It's the same color as the chair.
I must give her credit, though. Her fake tan is actually quite good. Usually you find it quite splotchy around the feet or around the fingers, and hers is, you know, that's a top-notch job there, but it's going to... Babes, that's going to start to fade. You're going to be a hot, hot mess.
She'll have to resort to, like, some Ambipur, like, just rub some Ambipur over her body. I'm sure they have an endless supply of it in the house.
Absolutely. She can just rub some of the oil into herself and then go out basting. My favourite Sky breakdown this week was when she had a meltdown about not being included in looking after the dogs. She's like, you know, if this was me, I would say, hey, Sky, do you want to go out and play with the dogs? So good.
I'm pretty sure that Priya has left the house because we haven't seen her in a few weeks. But I think just the utter debauchery of the rest of the house and just this crying and kissing in the spa and, like, these tantrums, Priya's just like, I'm out, because she's all about the money.
But my favourite is when, on last night's episode, someone was having a meltdown and Priya just really innocently walked into a room and someone said, oh, bugger off, Priya. And she completely rotated on her heel, left the room. Like, she hadn't even entered, hadn't even said a word, and was asked to leave.
Was it Gemma?
I think it was Gemma, yeah. Yeah, hilarious. I'm also not interested in the fact that they keep showing people doing interpretations of Priya's accent. Just this casual racism that seems to exist on the show at the moment is... I'm not loving it. Also, if someone else just in life comes up to me and says, have you noticed that there's no black people or Asian people or anyone that's not white on Big Brother? It's just hilarious. Racial diversity right there. Maybe that's why they brought the dogs in, for some, you know, special diversity. Special? Anyway, dogs and humans. Moving right along.
Speaking of Gemma... What's happened?
I think we've missed something. I think the editing has... They, like, accidentally uploaded a draft of a daily show or something, and we missed something. Because she's gone into serious meltdown mode, and not for... You often see housemates at the far end of a series breaking down over really, really small things. But do you know what happened to her this week?
I don't know. Or, like, everyone in nominations was saying she's being super annoying and saying inappropriate comments. Australia collectively shrugged because we hadn't seen it in the footage and we're all a bit confused. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, she's jumping on her bed, punching her pillow and having this giant tanty. And then on the Tim Dormer episode...
Yeah, why did she lose it there?
I actually didn't understand what was going on.
No, I had no idea. It just cut from them taking photos of themselves and she looked relatively happy to her having a total meltdown and telling Priya to bugger off. I absolutely don't get it. And all of the girls just went into ultra bitch mode. And I can't remember who it was. One of them, I'm still having trouble remembering their names. But one of them went in and basically just said, you know, I don't have to like you and I'm not going to like you. So there, have it.
I'm pretty sure that was Lisa.
And then just left, and they're all sitting down at the table, and someone else, one of the boys, said, don't you think the nice thing would be to go into the bathroom and see what she's crying about? And they're like, yeah, we have. We don't know what she's crying about. Like, yeah, nor does all of Australia. should we take some bets right now, just in this early stages, who will be, you know, who's going to come out on top or who's going to make it towards the end weeks? Can you pick it?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Travis might.
Yes, I agree.
Sky, probably. Well, Sky and Jason apparently are the favourites with the betting agencies. I can understand why Sky is, but I'm not too sure about Jason's appeal.
Yeah, I don't understand that yet. I don't think he, well, I mean, like many of the housemates, has really had a chance to for anything to be shown. His biggest piece of footage was when
he does have
came
a nice sob story, yeah.
Which is apparently, according to our website, not actually a sob story.
Maybe it's all of the leather garments that he owns.
That is something that I did want to bring up. There is a lot of leather going on in that house. There's some leather pants. There's some leather skorts or such. And there is a lot of leather hats.
I think they were all briefed early on about the power playroom. Because it really is. That's why we're not getting so much footage in The Daily Show or any daytime footage. They're all in the power playroom. You know, like whipping and strapping and...
It's just Big Brother season one all over again.
But actually on that topic, apparently that, did we talk about this last podcast about the suitcase being packed?
No.
But apparently, the producers do, have the majority say over what, is in their suitcase. I remember Rohan, was he from last year? Last year or 2012, he said later on after leaving the show, the producers actually repacked most of his suitcase so that his clothes fit the persona that they were trying to make of him as this like quirky guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, out of his own clothes or they put other stuff in there?
I'm not entirely sure, but I know that the producers chose a lot of his clothes.
Wow. Like, I know they give them money before they go in. That's quite well known to go and, you know, go out and buy some clothes, get done up, etc., etc.
And they do make some choices on what they wear, because like if you wear a striped T-shirt, sometimes it will like strobe and go really weird on a TV camera. Yeah. They don't want any big logos on clothes, that sort of thing.
Although that has changed in these more recent years. There's some huge, huge logos. Like a lot of the housemates have, I think it's New York Yankees or something, caps. Until it left Channel 10, every single logo was covered over. And that's why the MLS thing was such a huge thing, because that was the first logo you'd really seen on television. That wasn't one of the show's sponsors, and that was allowed in because it wasn't technically a brand. You know, it was just fueling Ryan staying in the house. Not bitter at all. But now, yeah, there's logos everywhere. Should we talk about advertising and logo placement?
Can we talk about the Ambipur ad, actually?
I actually don't know what to say about it. It just does my head in. The whole, we destroyed the Big Brother diary room. And then it's these shots of a diary room that is clearly not a diary room. It's just a room with the diary room chair in it and the housemates there. I'm just not into it. I just don't think that housemate should be wheeled out. I think it plays to their, you know, their expectation that they're going to become famous when they come out of the house because they've been filmed in a couple of adverts for one of the show's sponsors. I'm just really not into it. It's really wrong town.
So David did some really good detective work and he found this article from last year on Mumbrella, which is an Australian marketing and advertising blog/news site. And they're talking about sponsors on Big Brother. And I'll read out a section here. The two key brands that featured in product integration this season, which was 2013, were KFC and Ambipur. Alex M, the executive producer, said, "We will always strategically put in rewards from sponsors at the right time. We will never just throw them in and have a gratuitous sponsor moment. It's not like, housemates, here's some Ambipur, go and sniff it and tell us how fabulous it is. We just don't do that." I don't know if he's watched the Ambipur ads, but that's exactly what happens in the ads.
Maybe they read that and I'm going to actually start saying Ambipur. We're like, you know what? You're not having us sweet, sweet cash unless we can have some housemaids sniffing some like disgusting leftover pizza and like wretched children poo and saying that, you know, it smells like vanilla. My favorite in those ads, if you read the fine print down the bottom, it's on one of the last frames, says this ad, you know, we used 5 Ambipurs set to the maximum setting to achieve the desired effect. It's like, if you put 5 Ambipurs in one room, you would die.
Wear a gas mask.
You would actually die.
But also, like, from the BB purist point of view, they're sitting in the diary room chair. They're not actually in the real diary room, right?
No, it's in a whole other room.
So they filmed this whole thing beforehand, yeah. And the housemates would have seen the diary room chair. It's kind of like, I don't know, one of many cracks in the Big Brother formula at this stage.
Absolutely. It's like we were talking last week about them sending photographers in to take photos of them. I'm all for during lockdown, they've got to do all of the, you know, show us when you're sad and show us when you're happy faces to throw up on the screens during the live shows. But filming advertisements, I don't think so. I'm not into it. I was even against the ninjas going into the house to move things around in the ye oldie seasons. But, you know, this has taken it to another level. Although I have noticed that they're not zooming in on labels anymore. The last Channel 10 season, they were so desperate for cash, I guess. You would see a housemate. Imagine, you know, your widescreen screen. About an eighth of the screen would be a housemate eating breakfast, and the rest of the screen would be a brand of, I think it was like Weet-Bix or Kellogg's or something was the sponsor. And the entire screen was occupied by the box. All the other boxes in the house, no labels, nothing except for this one cereal box. Amazing.
That kind of reminds me, actually, have you noticed that the interns that edit the footage are starting to get a bit arty? Like, I think it was in the Friday night show, to try and break up the magic show, which was basically the entire episode. Someone was cooking in the kitchen and it had this like really arty slow motion shot of an egg breaking onto a frying pan and then someone knocking over a glass of water. It's different. It's north.
I don't know if I feel good or bad about this just yet. I haven't made my mind up, but I've noticed that the daily shows now are not chronological. They jump back in time, so they'll show you someone having, you know, complaining or crying about something, and then they'll flip back, throw on a sepia tone on the footage to show that it was in the past, and then play what it was that happened. And I find that it's a little bit of psychological warfare by basically giving you someone else's point of view before showing you the actual footage. And I can't decide whether I'm into it or not. Have you noticed it?
I think it really depends on the circumstance. If there's bitchy gossiping going on, then yes, it probably is more effective to hear it secondhand. But, you know, it gets really tiring listening to all this secondhand gossip. Like, pretty much everything you learn through The Daily Show is through an indirect conversation that someone else is having. They seem to be a bit scared to just show the event as it actually happened and then for you to make up your mind.
I suppose they go on for so long as well. Like, someone having a bitch goes for, you know, a split second, but the actual comment that someone made that they had a problem with does not go on for that long. And the shows are, you know, I think the shows are going to start getting cut. They're running long at the moment. I think the time slots will have to cut down. They're still trying to capitalize on that block audience. I don't know how successful it's being.
Well, let's talk ratings, and that's a nice segue into Tim Dormer. So the ratings have kind of petered out around the 600,000 to 700,000 person mark, which is pretty average. It's average for a Big Brother season. Different circumstances, the show's on much later, but at the same time, on most nights, they're getting a audience lead-in from the block. But our good friends over at Media Spy Forums, who follow ratings quite religiously, have picked up that Channel 9 is basically fudging their numbers on every Big Brother episode. They're overestimating the overnight figures, sometimes by up to 60,000 viewers, and you don't find out what the finalized figures are for sometimes a week later. So by that point, no one really cares. But they're artificially inflating or overestimating the ratings on a regular basis. And Friday night, just passed, was the lowest ever Big Brother Daily Show in the history of Big Brother Australia. It was around 250,000 people.
how are they inflating it? Don't we get results from Oztam or whatever, or are they the delayed ones?
So what happens, as far as I understand, there's overnight figures that Channel 9 releases, and that's sort of a preliminary figure. And what will often happen is, say, on Sunday night, the overnight figures will be counted specifically from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, but we all know what happened. The show was bumped back until 9:24 p.m., almost half an hour. So the figures don't actually accurately reflect the time that the show was on. Yeah. So they can kind of like fiddle around with it that, like, in these really sneaky ways. By a week later, Oztam will release the consolidated results. And for Big Brother, they've been lower every single time.
Interesting. I also wonder how the online viewing things come into play as well, because they're not, you know, you can, if you want to advertise on those channels like Jump In or whatever, you can, you know, request what the viewership is, but they're not included in the inverted commas, you know, general TV stats. But I don't imagine all that many people are actually streaming a show like this. If they miss a daily show, you can just jump in. It's the wonder of the format. You can just join the next episode and the same people are still there. You know, you've got, you can't, you're catching up. You're not missing a storyline by not being there. So
let's move on to Big Brother's biggest ratings grab ever.
Quick, the ratings are falling. What are we going to do? Let's throw in another housemate.
An ex-housemate at that. Normally it's Snores. Like in previous years, they just throw in three more intruders. No, they really did. They throw in three intruders, make you choose two to stay, and one would get the boot in a midweek eviction.
Gosh, it's just bringing so many flashbacks back.
So I reckon that Tim Dormer was always, had always signed something saying that he would appear on this season of the show, but I think it was originally planned to be much later in the season. This seems super rushed.
Absolutely, and to come in for one night as well. Or was he even there for a night? Well, we don't know. We didn't see. We haven't seen tonight's
show. Yeah, 24 hours. He's back out of the house now.
Just, yeah. It just stinks. I am really, really not into it. And the same way I'm not into the housemates having things filmed, you know, doing adverts or whatever. Like, it just, to bring in another person. And also, they cut it very carefully because obviously him and, is it Jake? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Are housemates in the outside world. And so Jake is very much on the sidelines looking like, what the fuck's going on when Tim arrives and all the other housemates are losing their shit. It just is odd. Like, I mean, you know, Big Brother can pick someone who's, you know, the housemate of another housemate, but he didn't really do anything, I don't think. And he, you know, to go in there to stir the house up and to, you know, really, really change thing and Big Brother's, like, biggest spanner in the works ever. No, I'm sorry, but the biggest spanner in the works are nominations every week without fail. That is a spanner in the works. Not throwing in someone to ask some pointed questions and see how two people next to each other flirt with one another and someone makes a joke about a magic wand and someone else's dick. Like, oh, it was just so, like, B-grade humor. Really not into it.
Well, there's actually quite a polarization between reactions to this episode. And it's really split across the old school Big Brother viewers, which is us, and the new school Big Brother viewers who probably didn't watch it in Channel 10 days. The new school people loved it, but the thing that they loved was having Tim on the show. So all of the positive comments were like, great episode of Big Brother. I really loved him. Everything else was not commented on.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, that is a ratings grab or a successful thing because you got back all of your viewers who maybe you ostracized last year because they moved on or they, you know, are now watching another show. They go, oh, yeah, I really enjoyed Tim, or I voted for him. I spent money on that guy. Here he is thrown into the house. But can he really do anything in 24 hours to take Dave into that room and suggest that he shaves his beard? I think it showed a real character flaw in Dave. I mean, I must add that I was absolutely off the radar, bringing back an old Big Brother saying, but completely off the radar last year and did not watch a single episode. And so don't really know much about Tim other than his kind of inverted commas. I've done inverted commas a lot. His antics outside of the house since he left, but like, I don't know that he achieved a whole lot. I suppose we'll find out in the weeks to come when the biggest spanner in the works has really changed the house dynamic.
I've actually got an advanced copy of the guest schedule for Big Brother. So this is top secret, everybody. So we just had Tim Dormer in the house. Next weekend, they're bringing Corey Worthington back to do the ultimate party task. And I bit of forewarning, he hasn't aged well. The week after that, they're bringing Tim Dormer back again, you know, like, and I think it's going to be a world first. And then the week after that, the special guest will actually be the wooden bath from The Block. Wait, been so stupid.
It's the biggest surprise in Big Brother history.
Oh, my God.
The incredible wooden bath goes back into the house. Sunday, the tap from the ceiling is given the power to shake things up. And he's bringing 3D tiles that will completely change the game.
Holy guacamole! Look, I just can't wait to see how that's going to shake up the house.
I'm really interested to see what power the tap from the ceiling gets and how that will shake up the house.
I think in context, we should all just take a moment to reflect on the time that Big Brother sent a transgender person into the house.
And Pamela Anderson. Don't forget that. Everyone forgets this, but Pamela Anderson was on Big Brother Australia. That was glorious.
I had completely forgotten about that. As bad as it gets, they haven't sent Pamela Anderson. Or what was her name?
Nadia from Big Brother UK.
That's right.
And then there was, it was Anushka and Miriam.
Miriam, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting my transgendered people mixed up.
This is very difficult. You know, it hasn't gotten that bad. Tim Dormer's hair, on the other hand, it reminds me of, do you remember Justin Timberlake in the early years? His hair looked like a packet of Maggi noodles. Tim Dormer's hair just looks like a big wig made out of mashed noodles. Before you cook them, obviously.
Too much. Let's talk about the show. I didn't know what the hell was going on for a lot of it.
On Sunday.
Night show.
I watched it today, so it's fresh in mind. No freaking idea. Had no idea what was going on. Felt like I was missing parts of it. I have no idea. And there were terms that they were using, which were obviously terms that they'd used in the house, like Big Brother's Hollywood something. But it was never mentioned in the context of what the housemates were actually doing. And did you notice that they never ate dinner? No wonder they were white girl wasted. There was no food. It was just booze. And when Tim went in, he's like, oh, yeah, let's drink. And that was it.
There was a lot of white girls wasted in that house that night. I think the pinnacle was like Jake and Lisa in walking around one of the wardrobe rooms.
Where did that come from?
And it was like, am I going to hell? Kiss me. No. I think the segment only went for 5 minutes, but man, like it felt like the galaxy had died and was reborn.
Also, was there any point prior to that where he showed any interest in Lisa? The whole week was pitched at him having an interest in Skye and Skye having an interest in etc. And then I think they must have realized on Friday, oh shit, we forgot to show the bits where Jake actually says that he likes Lisa, and we'll just show him pretending to asking her to kiss him, and then we'll be fine. I feel like you know, his housemates with Tim, he would have heard all about all the secrets and all the, you know, strategy before he went into the house. He was using that to get some airtime on that television on that night. Like, what, you know,
because he had to be really careful about any potential airtime with Tim.
Absolutely. And he knew there were going to be other things going on in the house, and, you know, Tim was going to be in there. If this was planned for a while, perhaps he knew that Tim was going to come into the house at some point. So he had to play up and get some airtime, because he hasn't been. A lot of the guys haven't been, and that's the name of the game in the first couple of weeks. You don't actually get any airtime whatsoever unless you do something interesting and absolutely having a romance, having a breakdown, or nominating someone for a really good reason that no one else has seen, you know, is a way to get in.
Should I be feeling sorry for Tim Dormer for having to do that for his career? There was moments where, it was after he'd tried to have a discussion around the dinner table, but everyone was already white girl wasted and just off the rails. And he was trying to control the situation, but getting nowhere. So he hopped to the diary room, and Big Brother's like, how's it feel to be back? And the honest look on Tim's face for a split second was like, what am I doing here? This is the most uncomfortable thing I've had to do in my media career so far.
Also, is his career failing that bad? Like, he won Big Brother last year. It's a major Australian piece of television, and he won the show. Most people know his name. Why?
How much money do you think was secretly paid to David to shave his beard off? Because he was vehemently refusing to shave that beard off. And then suddenly, after 5 minutes of haggling, he's like, oh, okay.
I think there was probably a good 45 minutes between that. And there was probably a lot of power bottom play in between that really convinced him that it was a really good idea. Should we talk about the housemates in the sauna?
Yes, the sauna and the spa.
I just find it very homoerotic. And I think maybe it's appealing to the gays in the, you know, the 16 to 24 demographic. Discuss.
Oh, absolutely. And I've already seen plenty of photoshops from that sauna that really get me going. But that sauna is just, it's just a gratuitous, nice little function of the house. It's only ever showing guys in there, though. I haven't seen any girls in the sauna yet. It's really like the steamy man cave of the house.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the precursor to the power play room.
I just feel like it could launch into a porn at any moment.
Well, that spa bath on Sunday night, it had an illegal number of people inside the spa. I don't think a spa is allowed to hold that many people.
I don't think it's that point in a spa when you get in and there's actually more person than there is water.
Can you imagine the color of the water the next morning?
Disgusting. They'd have to freight that thing out.
That you'd just be like 1 centimeter of water mixed with some of David's beard and some of like Tim's Maggi noodle hair.
Yeah, disgusting. I'm not into it. It's that thing like, oh, we're in Brisbane. We'll put a spa in and we'll put a sauna in and we'll put a pool in. Also, have you noticed that the, what's that thing called in the middle? The
fishbowl.
Yeah, the fishbowl. It's clearly made out of really, really cheap perspex. And for anyone who works in, you know, anything to do with marketing or signage knows that there's cheap perspex and there's good perspex. And that one is getting really, really mank at the front. It's really minging.
It can just double as a soundproof nominations chamber.
I think there's a microphone like dangling out of it. Actually, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. The style of cameras on Big Brother for the longest time were very much about being behind the scenes and not seen, not heard. And in recent years, I suppose because of the nooks in that wretched house, they've moved to, this year specifically, there are quite a number of cameras which rotate and you can see them moving around as housemates walk past. I think it is a super creepy way of reminding the housemates that they are being watched. And I absolutely love it. I'm all for it. Remember in previous years, there'd just be wall-to-wall mirrors all the way around the house, whereas now you're getting more kind of texture, but you've just got this ghastly-looking camera that sits on a rotating little knob somewhere following a housemate around. I'm really into it.
Yeah, I never understood when they got rid of all the visible cameras. It was very early on in the season, and they made a really big deal about it at the time, I recall.
And microphones as well. They were hiding them in pot plants and that kind of stuff, whereas now they're just straight dangling.
Yeah, and it's also because the housemates are so savvy. They know. But I do remember reading a story from some of the test housemates for this year, which were all journalists, and one of them commented, like, there was a rotating camera following me, and I was telling a funny story, but then it turned away, and I'd wondered what I'd done wrong. So I've got an interesting thing to end the show with. We've been talking about Tim Dormer quite a lot because he's a hot topic right now. But
Hot topic.
I have found out that he is satanic and is going to bring about the end of days. This was posted on our Facebook page and I only got around to watching it recently. But a very religious man from America has dissected the Australian Big Brother promo advertisement, the one with the ark and the housemates going in two by two. And, you know, he's found some definite connections from the Illuminati, the secret society that run all international politics, and also the Freemasons, that secret gentleman society. They're all over Big Brother, and Tim Dormer is a central part of that. Let's take a listen to this video.
I look for a lot of the different secrets and mysteries from all around the world, looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the Son of God, who was raised from the dead and took all the sins of the world away. Now the world elite, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and even the spiritual realms that are all around us, they leave their signs and secrets right in front of us in symbolism. And on my channel, we bring all of this back to the Word of God and show how we're nearing the end of days. Well, there is this new commercial for the new season of the show called Big Brother. And it shows a lot of the same things that we've been showing on our channel about the end of days beginning. That a storm is brewing. See here? A storm is brewing. We're going to take a look at this commercial and point out a couple of the quick, simpler things showing that we're nearing the end. Obviously, the commercial has the woman at the top who is the host of the show, and she's loading up this ark as they're going in two by two. And she says a storm is coming. And then she makes it seem like it's going to be the show. You know, like it's going to be a storm because of all the controversy and the drama that is involved in the show.
Of course,
which is why people watch it for all the
look, he's getting the
drama.
Point of the promo, so that's
just like Desperate Housewives, practically. Well, there's this one character at the end also in here. You'll notice him closing the door. And he has a thing, he's from last season. This man right here, Tim Dormer. And his big thing is this little pajama outfit that he has. He even sells these. But it's him in this little skeleton outfit. We're going to show who this is at the end. He's connected to a end time figure, the second horseman of the apocalypse, in this skeleton outfit. So let's take a look at this trailer, and then we will show all of those things.
This is
of how the woman is actually in the Bible, and she's loading
Sonya
the ark.
Sonya Kruger is
and it's
in
all
the
meant
Bible.
For the wise virgins
he's incredible,
in the Bible to be caught
it's in the
away.
Yeah, that
a
is
basic
what this
rapture situation. And then a great end times comes upon the world.
Okay, let's fast forward a bit. I want to hear more about Tim Dormer's satanic horsemen of the apocalypse roots.
I just want to hear more about Tim Dormer, full stop.
Here, at the end, you had this one man here named Tim Dormer, and he was doing the very end, shutting the door on the ark, and then he's here. Well, in the Bible, this guy represents the second horseman of the apocalypse, and
I
he
knew
brings
it.
War,
I knew it.
The storm begins. Now, how can we make this connection? I mean, how
yes,
can
how do
us.
You make the connection?
Well, tell
guess
us.
What? The Freemasons show him right here. He's this Indian. Oh. See the door right over here? This hangs in the Denver International Airport, where there are many cryptic murals mapping out the end of days, all right in front of everybody. This Indian is named Maysaw.
So there you have it, everyone. I don't know entirely what's going on, but Tim Dormer is one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, and it has something to do with Denver International Airport.
And also something about an Indian painting a tree.
What a fabulous way to end the show. I think Tim Dormer is the biggest horseman of the apocalypse in Big Brother history.
Do you think that Big Brother is actually like that episode of The Simpsons, join the Navy? This is actually what we're...
So you mean there's like a...
There's a secret message. There's a subtext.
Yeah, there's like a subconscious message in there for you to start worshipping Satan if you watch Big Brother. Makes sense to me. I mean, look at that illegally loaded spa.
Babes, your phone's ringing. Hello?
Hi, babes, you're on the podcast. We're recording a podcast. You're on it right now.
Oh, fantastic. It's in Disneyland. It's the 25th to 28th of September.
You trying to plug your show on our podcast?